Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 29th verse. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You are looking at a miracle, baby. That's what my aunts referred to me as when I was just an infant. Because my mother had had such difficulties during her pregnancy, my dad said that the doctors had told my parents that more than likely I would not be born alive. My dad always said, the doctor also said, if the baby did happen to live, there would certainly be something very wrong with it. But my aunts referred to me apparently as a miracle baby in letters that I found years later. How is the little miracle baby doing? I didn't know this till years later. Miracles are an amazing thing. We always wish we could have been there to have witnessed the miracles of our Lord. We're told the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And there were multitudes, apparently, that went out to this. It's no surprise, then, that non-biblical Jewish sources from that day speak about and write about the miracles of Jesus being known among the people of that early in the first century. A theologian gave us this definition of a miracle. A miracle is an event making known to the senses the presence of a personal power above the physical and human plane, working towards a moral end. So is it possible for miracles to still happen among us today? You know, there are times when we maybe pray for someone who is sick. We ask God to heal them. Maybe it's someone in our own family who has cancer. And maybe the doctors have almost given up hope. Stage 4. There's nothing else that can be done. There are times, once in a while, when we hear of situations where people are suddenly better again and the cancer is gone. It doesn't show up on any of the tests that are done anymore. And people are just amazed. And even the doctors, once in a while, will use words like miracle. It's miraculous. They have no way to scientifically, biologically, according to natural ways, explain how this healing took place and this recovery. Now, sometimes we use terms like that, that something was miraculous. Is it possible that we will find out, even years from now, that there actually was a natural explanation for that? We don't know. It's not wrong for us to certainly at least attribute this healing or recovery that seems so hard to explain back to the hand of God, whether through natural means or supernatural means. But Jesus himself has not particularly promised us in his word that he will continue performing miracles among us. Now, he's certainly capable of doing that. For goodness sakes, he's the Son of God. He can do anything he wants. And yet he has not taught us or instructed us to put our spiritual stock in investing it in this idea of waiting for miracles to be done and looking for the performance of miracles for us to have faith. In fact, it would seem that by the end of the New Testament era, this gift that our Lord possessed and that he certainly allowed his apostles to have, that it seems to fade out. St. Paul's directives regarding pastors and what their qualifications should be doesn't even mention miracles at all. Now, is it possible for miracles to still take place? Is it possible for God to intervene and still perform these miraculous things that we cannot explain? Yes, certainly it is. But that's really not the question we need to be asking. The question we should ask is this: does God direct us to look for them? Our Lord, in His Word, also warns us, warns the members of His church, that there will be those who will come, even inside of the church, in the name of Christ, who will produce deceiving signs and wonders that will deceive people away from God's truth. In the name of Jesus, even, this will be done, he says. And yet, the source behind this comes from an evil kingdom, our Lord warns. And so we are to be on our guard. Now, there are Christian preachers today who claim to still have this power and this ability to do miracles. Some even go so far as to challenge and question the faith of anybody that would doubt that they have this power, and to say that if you have that kind of doubt, that you must not really have true faith. Imagine for just a moment that there were video cameras back in Jesus' day, that we could actually have video recordings of our Lord stooping down in the Garden of Gethsemane to pick up Malchus's ear and to reattach it back to the side of his head and to give him his hearing back. Imagine that we could actually watch the withered hand suddenly being restored by Jesus' power. Or imagine if we could actually watch that little 12-year-old daughter of Jairus laying there still and dead in her bed, and then Jesus miraculously bringing her back to life. How amazing that would be, that all of that could be on videotape if we had that technology back then. Well, we do have it today. We do actually have that kind of technology today. And those kinds of miracles, just like that, if the ones that claim to be true today certainly could be documented, where are they? Why is it that the claims of miracles that are done supposedly today are always some internal problem that never really can be verified? Now, we need to remember that in Jesus' day, there were sick and maimed and blind who he did not heal. There were funeral processions that our Lord walked past where he did not stop and bring that person back to life. And yet there are some of these, as mentioned in our text, where Jesus himself chooses, for the higher purposes of his kingdom, chooses to perform the supernatural healing or resurrection. Our Lord especially steps aside from providing these miraculous doings, these healings and miracles, when they started to become a distraction for people, when they started to take the attention and the focus off of the true spiritual reasons he had come, and especially eternal work that he had come to do. Our Lord's true purpose and mission was not to improve the earthly lot of people. Those whom he healed, did they ever get sick or hurt again? Yeah, they did. Where's Lazarus today? Where's Jairus' daughter today? They died, didn't they? And yet during his ministry, our Lord used the helpless situation of these individuals to provide the perfect canvas upon which he would paint his divine power and demonstrate that he truly is the Son of God. And that's really what this is all about. May we today take comfort in the fact that God has placed our trust and confidence in one who has power as well as compassion to help us, the very author of life himself. Sometimes we maybe want a touchy-feely human Jesus that plays soccer with the kids and listens to rock and roll, but what we really need is a divine Jesus. What we really need is the Son of God, who in human form went to the cross for us to atone for all of our sins and wickedness, to pay for them, who has risen from the dead to give us the hope of our own resurrection from the dead. And so may we not in this life be focused on what Christ can do to improve our earthly lot in life, but rather stay focused on the eternal heavenly work that he came to do and the beautiful home that he's prepared for us and that's waiting for us, where we will be relieved of all suffering, no matter what it is. Through faith in him, may we now and eternally, as did the people in our text, give glory to the God of Israel. Amen.